Let us turn again to the part of God's word that we read in Judges chapter 6. We'll read verse 11, or rather we'll just read verse 14. Chapter 6, verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Go in this thy might. Gideon was used by the Lord to help free his people from the tyranny of the Midianites. The Midianites were instruments that were used to chastise the people for their sin. We read that they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. They worshiped Baal, as we read about Baal's altar later on in the chapter. And because of that, they suffered 7 years from the Midianites. It perhaps was an annual invasion. The Midianites were nomadic tribes and came with their camels and covered the whole land as grasshoppers for multitude, devouring all the crops, and they destroyed everything. And we read that the Israelites had to make for themselves dens in the mountains and caves and strongholds, and perhaps that was mainly for storing their crops and concealing them from the invaders. And so the Israelites were living in fear. They were terrified of these enemies. And the reason they were in fear was because of their sin. And we have to remember that when people are afraid, it's due to sin. One way or another, they're not trusting in God. They're full of fear. And God will allow people to be full of fear because of their own sins. Sin was the cause of all this trouble. And so they were becoming poorer and poorer. But God, they cried. They cried to God in their misery. And before this, it would obviously appear that they were not crying to God. They were worshiping idols. And so God was using the Midianites to awaken the people, to stir them up from their lethargy, their spiritual slumber. And we read that God sent a prophet who is not given a name, but God used him and honored him in speaking to his people about their sin. They had to be reminded that the reason for their troubles was their sin. In verse 10, he says that he is speaking about how God delivered his people from Egypt and brought them into the promised land, driving away the Canaanites. And what the people do in response, Israel, God's own people, what they do is turn to idols, the very idols he told them not to serve. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. And then verse 10 at the end says, But ye have not obeyed my voice. How sad that was. Here was a terrible indication of the people's attitude, their ingratitude. They were not thankful for what God had done for them. He gives them blessings and favor, and they turn away from him. They did not obey his voice. We need to ask ourselves, do we obey the voice of God? While we are here in this world, are we tempted to follow the ways of the world? They were in the land of Canaan, and they should not follow the idols, worship the idols of Canaan, but that is exactly what they did. And so God's people, they are in the world, but they must not be of the world. We are to watch and pray and keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And yet, we read here the evidence of God's mercy. The fact that God had sent them a prophet shows that God was being faithful and indeed merciful to them. And the Lord sent his angel to commission a man named Gideon to be instrumental in delivering his people from their enemies. So let us consider what the angel says to Gideon in verse 12 and the following verses, when he says, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And these words here, "Go in this thy might, go in this thy might. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor, go in this thy might." And the Lord helping us, we will consider first of all the authority of God. Here is God commissioning Gideon to help save his people. The authority of God. And secondly, we see the anxiety of the believer, or the weakness of the believer in the person of Gideon. "Oh, my Lord," he says, "if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of?" And so on. Here's his anxiety. Here's his weakness, weak faith. But finally, in the third place, the assurance of strength. "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And then finally, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." So God assures him of strength, and that Gideon will accomplish that which God has appointed him to do. So we begin with the authority of God, secondly, the anxiety of the believer, and thirdly, the assurance of strength. Verse 11, "There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." So an angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. He is an angel of Jehovah. And here is a theophany, as the term is used to describe a manifestation of God. Theophany, a manifestation of God. And it often is pointing to a pre-incarnation appearance of Christ. Christ, the Son of God, appearing in the form of a man, as it would seem here. And he is the second person in the Trinity. He is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe, who appeared as an angel or a man in, who was traveling. As you can see later on, he has a staff in his hand. But it is a manifestation of God to Gideon. It is the Lord himself. It is Jehovah who speaks to him. And because you can see that sometimes it's the words are an angel, or the angel of the Lord spoke to him, and sometimes it is the Lord himself who speaks to him, as verse 14, "And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might." So this is the uncreated angel of Jehovah, and he appears to commission with all authority Gideon to deliver Israel from the Midianites. And notice that Gideon is alone here before the angel appeared. He is threshing wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And it is when he is all alone, in secret, yes, he was working, but he was by himself and perhaps meditating in the solitude that he was in. And it's then that the Lord appeared to him, which reminds us that if we are to receive a blessing from the Lord and the communication of his truth to our souls by his Spirit, it's when we are in solitude. It's when we are alone, alone especially with in private meditation, seeking the Lord. And so Gideon is indeed by himself. He is hiding this activity. Why? Because the Midianites would be likely to come and take away all the grain that he's threshing. He is beating the grain, probably with a stick, instead of using an ox to tread the grain, to separate the kernel from the shell, which indicates that the crops were few, and also that the fact that he is doing it by the wine press, or actually in the wine press, and not in an open space, an open threshing floor, again to conceal the supplies in order to prevent the Midianites from taking them all away. And the angel, it's then when Gideon perhaps looks up and sees an angel sitting under an oak, and the angel speaks to him. Perhaps it's been suggested that this angel that Gideon didn't know was the angel of the Lord begins to speak to him, carrying on a conversation, and begins to actually encourage him to use what strength he has to help deliver God's people, so that his communication to him is summed up in these words: "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." But certainly it is the case that God is, in this interview with Gideon, commissioning his servant to be instrumental in rescuing his people from the Midianites. God was giving him a command. He was with authority commanding Gideon to go forward and help defeat the enemy and conquer this foe. God's people were oppressed, and Gideon was commissioned to help deliver God's people from the oppressors. Well, friends, God gives us commands. He obviously gives us duties that we are to perform. When he gives us privileges and blessings, he gives us responsibilities and obligations at the same time. And this is our commission from God to perform our duties. We are all required to be separate from the world. We are all required to renounce sin and Satan and the world. We all have the responsibility to honor God in all the gifts that he has bestowed upon us. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. God has commanded us this. So God is directing us in his authority. And we have a commission, along with clear directions, as believers, to be fighting against sin. Sin is the great oppressor. Unbelief ruins us. We have to resist it and fight it. Mortify, put to death the deeds of the body. We are to live unto righteousness, be holy, to purify our hearts by faith in Christ. God comes with authority through his word and commands us. This is our commission. He is appointing us to do this. God's people are to be separate. They are to be holy. They are to be going on in sanctification. But also, he gives some of us very specific commands, very specific duties. Husbands, they have a particular duty. Love your wives. Wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Children, obey your parents. So whatever our role is in life, God gives us specific directions and duties in a way that he authoritatively appoints us to perform them. Elders are to take the oversight of the flock willingly, not by constraint, but willingly, not as lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Ministers are to fulfill their ministry, which they have received from the Lord. That is the direction that Paul gives to one of God's servants in Colossians chapter 4. So God gives us the command, but with the command there is encouragement. He gives us strength, and he promises to give strength for the duty, and he promises his presence. As the angel said to Gideon, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." It is by his grace, and indeed by his grace alone, that we are able to perform the duties that God enjoins upon us. And because he is with us, we can do these things by his grace. We are strong in him. the mighty man of valor. But often when the believer is confronted with duties and obligations and recognizing all the responsibilities, he or she can be overwhelmed and full of anxiety. And so we consider that in the second place, the anxiety or weakness of the believer. Here is Gideon's response, verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us. And notice he says, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon is identifying himself with the people, perhaps not willing to be singled out as if he were someone who was giving evidence of being strong and that God was with him in particular. But he says, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. So Gideon is called a mighty man of valor, and yet here he demonstrates weak faith. God indeed would strengthen him, and that is how he would be a mighty man of valor and would give full evidence that God was strengthening him because of the Lord's grace that he was giving. But right here we see that Gideon is weak, and he's asking why. Why is all of this happening? And isn't that a question that God's people ask sometimes? Like Rebecca, who said, why am I thus? Why is it so with me? Job asked, wherefore contendest thou with me? Why am I going through this hardship, this terrible experience? The psalmist in Psalm 13 says, how long wilt thou forget me, Lord? Shall it forever be? And Gideon says, where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of? And God's people may ask today, where are the remarkable displays of God's power that we read of in church history? When God would convert hundreds at a time through the instruments of one of his faithful servants, where is that? We do not see that today. The prophet, or rather the psalmist, says in Psalm 74, verse 9, we see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there any among us that knoweth how long. We may be tempted to ask, is God's hand shortened? Does God not have the same power as he used to when he displayed such omnipotence in converting so many and turning sinners from wickedness to righteousness? But the answer perhaps is, yes, God has the same power, but also God has the same attribute of holiness that he has always had. He is just as holy, and because of the sins of the people in the world, there is no doubt, because of that, a withdrawing of his power. And God is just as sovereign today as he was before. And yet God is just as faithful today as he was centuries ago. And the evidence is apparent if we would only look. And here is Gideon saying, well, if the Lord is with us, why then is all this happening? As if because this is happening, God is not with us. But the fact is that God shows us he is with us by various evidences. And one was, for Gideon, the fact that God did send a prophet. If God had totally abandoned Israel, he would not have sent a prophet to rebuke them, which perhaps stir them up to examine themselves, so that as a result of that, as a result of repentance, God sends his angel to speak to Gideon. So God has not left his people. It may seem like it. God has not forsaken the earth, as the unbelieving priests would say in the time of Ezekiel, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. God has not done so. He is still working, and he says to Elijah that he has 7,000 people who have not bowed the knee to Baal. And so here was Gideon himself. It would seem that maybe his father was worldly and a Baal worshiper, but Gideon seems to be different. He is, after all, a mighty man of valor. Whether that indicates that was obvious through his physical strength and threshing wheat, or more likely because he was determined to follow God no matter what, or perhaps even better, the very fact, as we hope to see, that the angel called him this was a communication of strength. Gideon is showing signs of weakness throughout the chapter, but God is calling him a mighty man of valor, we believe partly because in that call, God was conveying strength to Gideon. So Gideon here is showing weakness. Why has the Lord done, why is this happening? If the Lord is with us, then why do we not see his miracles? And why do we not see him delivering his people now as he did deliver his people from Egypt a long time back? But he says, but now the Lord hath forsaken us. That is so plain. The Lord hath forsaken us. That was his conclusion. He wasn't in doubt about that. The Lord hath forsaken us. He would shake his head. No, this can't be right. This stranger talking to me, he has very encouraging words, but no, the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Well, he knew, no doubt, why that had taken place, because of the idolatry. But again, he was wrong. The Lord was drawing near. The Lord had never totally abandoned his people. But there are times when God's people go through trying situations that perplex them. Yes, even today, when God's people walk in darkness and have no light, and the enemy, Satan, is harassing them, and they ask themselves, where has my strength gone? I feel so distant from God. Just a few days ago, I felt near the Lord. What has happened? Where is the light? Where is the strength? I seem to be failing in every situation, right and left, failing my God and being a terrible example. Why is this happening? But again, the Lord is maybe correcting us, allowing Satan to be let loose upon us, to stir us up, to show us where true strength lies. Not in ourselves. If we're always feeling strong and near the Lord, we will begin to think, well, this is the way it is, because this is the way I am. No, it's God's strength and God's grace, and God will remind us of that. And when we are in these situations, we may be saying, the Lord hath forsaken me, but the Lord has not. He says he will not forget his people. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. So the Lord will stir up his people sometimes by allowing the enemy to oppress and seeming to withdraw from his people. His people are stirred up to say, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. When they feel destitute and their power is gone, they're stirred up to cry to the Lord, and he hears the cry of the destitute and he sends relief. And he was commissioning Gideon to help, that Gideon would help deliver the people of God from their enemies. And so we consider in the third place the assurance of strength. The assurance of strength. And we read in verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. How precious are these words. The Lord looked upon him. Perhaps more literally, the Lord turned to him. The Lord turned to Gideon his face. The Lord turned his face to Gideon. As we sang in Psalm 25, the psalmist is praying, "Turn unto me thy face, and to me mercy show, because I am desolate and am brought very low." How the Lord's people long that the Lord would return. "Turn yet again to us, O Lord, how long thus shall it be?" And so the Lord does. And surely David knew from experience that when God's people are low and they wait upon the Lord will give them strength again. "Wait upon the Lord, and he shall strengthen thy heart. This is what I have to tell you, friend, child of God, you who feel so weak. I know from experience that if you continue to look to the Lord and continue to seek him and trust him, he will eventually strengthen you. I was there in myself. I felt near the Lord, and I felt distant from the Lord. I felt so weak, and I was sinking and sinking, but I kept praying and crying to the Lord. I could have given up. I could have said, well, I'll just get joy somewhere else. I'll just divert myself in all kinds of pleasures and forget about seeking the Lord, but I did not. I continued seeking the Lord, and he heard my cry, and he strengthened me, and he lifted me up out of the pit. And if you do the same, you will experience the same. He will strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." So when the Lord's people are low, then they may, if they continue looking to the Lord, they will receive a look from him. They are low, but God turns to them in love. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ, even when Peter denied the Lord, and this is not something we can presume upon, of course, but it shows how condescending the Lord is, how willing he is to assure his people. He looked on Peter. It was no doubt a look, yes, of hurt, being wounded by Peter, but also a look of love and a look that Peter would never forget. Well, here is the Lord looking on Gideon. And he said, "Go in this thy might. Go in the knowledge that you are a mighty man of valor. Go in the knowledge that he has commanded you." He says, "Have not I sent thee?" Verse 14. God has commissioned Gideon, and knowing that will be a strength to Gideon. He says, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites." This people that, these invaders that have oppressed God's people, you will be successful in overcoming them, because God has commanded you, and he will strengthen you. He is with you. And so Gideon, perhaps, is taking a little more courage, and he says, verse 15, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel?" He's not saying, "No, I can't do this," but "How can I? Wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." So he is needing assurance, and God gives it to him. Verse 16, "And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." Gideon is saying, "How can I do this? What strength do I have? What talents do I have?" But God is saying, "I will be with thee. Surely I will be with thee." And that goes back to the original communication, the first word that was spoken to him. "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." These are the first words given to him. "The Lord is with you." And God is saying here, "I will surely be with thee." God promises his presence. And we're to trust in him for that. When God gives us a command, and even when we don't feel that he's near, we know that he is near. Even when we don't feel that he loves us, we know that he loves us. He will never deprive his people of his love. Nothing will separate God's people from the love of Christ. So God promises his presence, which is a great strength. "Go in this thy might." So when the angel of the Lord says to Gideon, go in this thy might, thy mighty man of valor, go in this thy might. What is this might? Well, it's partly this, God's presence, his word assuring him of his presence. The Lord will not only give his presence, but strengthen him, because Gideon and all of God's people will be brought to know this, that the strength that they have and the strength that they need all comes from God. And that is what we need to lay hold of. To all his children, to all who will trust in God, God promises strength. Go in this thy might. What might, you say? What might? What strength? The Lord's strength. And his promise of strength. You see, that is what strengthens God's people, his word. The promise of strength is their strength. And he promises us so plainly, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And you say, well, how can I do this? Well, the promise makes it clear. But not only the promise. Again, we go back to the call, the command, the commission. Because remember in Romans chapter 4, we read that God calls those things which be not as though they were. So he says, let there be light, and there's light, but there was no light before that. But his call makes light. And when God calls his people, it's out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that call comes with power. In other words, it's by his spirit. When he says, be strong, he conveys power in that word by his spirit. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Go in this thy might. You say, I don't have any might. Go in this thy might. Thy might is my might. That's what God is saying. It's his strength. And so we're to be strong in him. So his call to us makes us be what he calls us to be. If he says, husbands, love your wives, will he not give strength to do so? And so on for every particular duty, just by way of application. His call makes us what he calls us. The commission carries strength. He says to his people, I call you a saint, now be a saint. I call you strong, you're a strong man, so be strong. Go in this thy might. It is God's strength that is our strength. So it is his call to us and his promise to us and his presence with us that is our strength. Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And see how he says, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites, have I not sent thee? And then what I'm looking at is where he says, surely I will be with thee. So there is certainty here. Surely. We're to lay hold on these words too. Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. As one man. This whole host, they're so numerous, they're like grasshoppers, but you will smite them as if they were not a huge host, but only one man. That's how God can so easily help us to overcome. David says in one place, I will not trust in my sword and my bow. That's not really going to gain the victory. But it is God who is with us. He gives the victory, because the one who fights for us is really the Lord himself. He's our strength. He will fight for us. And knowing this, knowing his his power, knowing his mercy, knowing who he is, the faithful, covenant-keeping God, faithful God toward his people, we will be strong. As Daniel says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And perhaps, finally, we can put it this way. Has the Lord given you grace? Well then, go in this thy might. You have a little strength. You know that the Lord has helped you do this or that. He's helped you believe in Christ. He's helped you resist sin. Go in this thy might. He's given that to you. It's not your strength. Always remember that. If we ever get into a mind where we think that we can do this and we can resist that, and we begin to deceive ourselves as if it's our own strength, the Lord will show us it's not. This thy might is God's might, but go in it. Remembering it's the strength the Lord has given you, so that however small the strength is, give him the glory of it and go forward in the path of duty, looking to him for more strength. As he says to the church in Philadelphia, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Thou hast a little strength. Go in this thy might. And look to him, this might that he has given you, this strength he has given you. It's a pledge that he will give you more strength. So go in this thy might, and he will give you more. If grace is made use of, he will give us more grace. But if we hide our talent, we can expect everything to be taken away. Go in this thy might. Go in this thy might. His might is your might. And finally, let us all be praying for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ask and it shall be given. You pray, friend. You say you have zero strength. You have nothing at all. Perhaps nothing but unbelief, but pray that your eyes will be open to see. It's unbelief that's the problem, and that needs to be mortified, destroyed. Pray for faith. Pray that the Holy Spirit would work in your heart, that you would rely upon Christ. Who is the one that God will help and strengthen? Well, it is all those who trust in him for it. That is the promise. To those who trust, that strength will be given. We're to plead the promises in Christ, and we're to come to Christ that God would fulfill the promises to us. For all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. So you see a promise, take it in your hand and go to the throne of grace and say, Lord, please fulfill this promise to me, not because I deserve it, but only for Christ's sake. Lord, help me to trust in Christ, and through Christ, through his blood and righteousness, convey the strength of the promise to me, in my soul, in my heart. Because if you trust in his blood, he will wash away your sin. If you trust in him, he will strengthen you. He will help you. He will uphold you. Go in the might that is offered in the gospel. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Trust in Christ for wisdom, for strength, for righteousness. Because he promises you, none perish, let him trust. And may he bless his word. Let us pray.